You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
This morning, we're just so glad that you've come to the Christmas service where we can celebrate Jesus and the birth of our Saviour. This morning, why Jesus? In Luke 2:7, it was time for Jesus Christ to be born into this world. And instead of finding room to be born, everything was full. Everything was overcrowded. Jesus to be discarded and left to a stable to be born with animals, where animals were kept because there was no room for him. And I believe that we see a critical picture that I believe still to be a relevant truth today. If Jesus Christ has made our hearts his home today, can Jesus find room in our hearts today? Ephesians 3 puts it like this: then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and it will keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, to know, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep love is. Jesus may not have found room at an inn, but today he has found room in our hearts this morning. Why do I believe we need to make room for Jesus? What happens if we give Jesus the room and come face to face with a Savior? I believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. I believe he is the Savior of the world. He is my healer. He is my deliverer. He is your restorer and friend. Can we come face to face with this truth and experience who Jesus really is, or have our hearts become overcrowded only to be left face to face with our humanity? I don't want to live in this world without the personal knowledge of a Savior. I don't want to live in this world only left with my humanity. This Bible, the Bible, talks about a peace that surpasses all understanding. And let me tell you this truth today. This peace is Jesus Christ himself. I don't have to imagine being without him because I have made my heart so wide open that I can receive freely all that Jesus is, because Jesus promised to make my heart his home. And where Jesus is, so is this truth, his restoration, his love, and his healing. And at 29 years of age, through one face-to-face conversation with Jesus, I was completely healed of a childhood trauma, a trauma that had overcrowded my heart with burden and pain, to be completely set free and healed. Why Jesus? Because his healing brings freedom that changed every part of my life. And now daily I get to experience this incredible relationship with Jesus. Not giving him room. Not giving him room. This is what I'm afraid of. Leaving a king to be born in a stable with animals. This is our humanity. Hearts that were overcrowded, not being able to perceive and recognize that the Savior of the world was being born. Hearts that say, I have no room for Jesus Christ in my life. Muratus was a wandering scholar in the Middle Ages, and he was poor. In an Italian town, he took ill and was taken to a hospital for homeless people. The doctors were discussing his case in Latin, never dreaming that Muratus could ever understand what it was that they were saying. They suggested that since he was a worthless wanderer, that they might use him for medical experiments. He looked up and answered them in their own learned language of Latin and said, call no man worthless for whom Christ died. Call no man worthless for whom Christ died. because of Jesus Christ, no man today is worthless. He came for all humanity. Call no man worthless for whom Christ died. God made room for his son Jesus to come into this earth for all humanity, not based on social status, not based on whether we were educated or not educated, not whether we were rich or poor. God gave his son Jesus for all humanity. God made room. In Luke 1:26, the birth of Jesus is foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled, deeply moved at his words and wondering what could this mean, what type of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him a throne and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will and shall never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive and barren is now presently in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail, Mary." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. The key to making room is in the words of Mary. What God has already said to you has already been accomplished in someone else. The angel of the Lord was showing her, your relative Mary, who was barren, is now 6 months pregnant. Look what the Lord can do. What God has said to you already has already been accomplished in someone else around you. Their testimony is your revelation and your hope to hold on to every promise that Jesus has given to us personally. And I love the key to making room is in these words of Mary. "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." What trust, what hope, what reliance on the word of God that Mary had. "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Mary made room for God's word to be fulfilled. Mary's submission and response, her acceptance, is the most lovely thing that we see. Whatever God says, she says, "I accept." Mary had learned to forget the world's commonest prayer, "Thy will be changed," and to pray the world's greatest prayer, "Thy will be done." It is the paradox for Mary at one and the same time, the greatest joy and the greatest task in the world. Mary loved God and made this incredible choice according to what the angel of the Lord was telling her. It is by living our human lives and making our human choices according to the word of the Lord, as Mary did, that we become fertile ground into which God can implant the seed of Christ awareness that will grow into new understanding of our spiritual worth and our purpose. As we move upward toward God, the power of God is constantly reaching out to us all as well, eager to make us pregnant with new possibilities as soon as we are ready to receive that spiritual seed. The entire process makes no sense to our human brains. It seems impossible, and it would be impossible if we were relying solely on our limited human powers. But once we surrender to the Christ within, expressing Christ in this world, then nothing is impossible with God to those who believe. We make room as soon as we receive. In Luke 2, it talks about the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the whole Roman world. This was the first census that took place, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room available for them. The Savior of the world, Jesus, to be born, and there was no room available for him. The town was crowded, and there was no room for Joseph and Mary. So it was in the common stable that Mary's child was born. That there was no room in the inn was symbolic of what was to happen to Jesus. The only place where there was room for him was on a cross. He sought an entry to the overcrowded hearts of men. He could not find it, and still his search and rejection go on. Can Jesus find room in our hearts today? Muggeridge was a brilliant journalist, some say the best journalist in the 20th century, who found Jesus at a later age and told this story of himself in his younger days and his own wanderings before he met and followed Jesus. When he was a young professor of journalism in India, he stepped out of his quarters one morning and he went into a river to swim, and he was swimming at dawn, and way out in the distance, he saw this silhouetted figure of a woman getting into the river far, far away from him. And in his own words, he described himself as a lustful type of an individual, and he decided he would make a go for her. He started to swim in her direction, and he said in his heart, there was a voice telling him, no, don't, no, don't, no, don't. But he said, I smothered that voice and I swam as hard as I could in her direction. And as I came closer and closer, the woman herself, of course, probably at this point stunned that someone was invading her privacy, especially as she saw a white man emerge from the waters. And as he shook the water from his face, all he could see was this woman covering herself like that. And he said, I was shocked that I was looking into the face and a body of a woman covered with leprosy. Her fingers were gone. Her nostrils were gone. Her lips were gone. Leprosy had eaten at her body, and her eyes looked almost like they were peering out somewhere. And Muggeridge said, I was on the verge of saying, what a horrible, ugly woman, to he said, and I paused and realized, no, I've got this wrong. It wasn't a horrible, ugly woman. It was this horrible, ugly heart with which I was living. Ephesians 3 says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love, and this will keep you strong. It'll give you the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love and protection is for our troubled hearts today. Has our heart become overcrowded where we can smother his voice, or can Jesus Christ find room in our hearts today? Jesus continually made room and still makes room today. Luke 8:43, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind Jesus and she touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her condition of 12 years, her bleeding instantly stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked, as thousands were around him in the crowd, leaning and pushing against him. When they all denied it, Peter said, his disciple, "Jesus, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "No, someone touched me, and I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at the feet of Jesus. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith, your determination, and your belief in me has healed you. Go in peace this day." This lady, overcrowded by disease, overcrowded, isolated from others, overcrowded with suffering for 12 years, she understood what it was to have no room of freedom, for people to have no room for her, despised and rejected by the culture of her day. Even if someone wanted to come close, they couldn't because the culture was so strong. This is why she kept up in the crowd, and that was why at first she was embarrassed when Jesus asked who touched him. "What if they notice me in this moment? What if they see me, the unclean woman who shouldn't be anywhere in society?" The lovely thing about this story is that from the moment Jesus was face to face with a woman, there seemed to be nobody but him and her. It happened in the middle of a crowd, but the crowd was forgotten, and Jesus spoke to that woman as if she was the only person in the world. She was a poor, unimportant sufferer with a trouble that made her unclean, and yet to that one unimportant person, Jesus gave all of himself. Almost everybody would have regarded that woman in the crowd as totally unimportant, insignificant. For Jesus, she was someone in need, and therefore, as it were, withdrew from the crowd, and Jesus gave himself to her in that moment. Jesus loves each one of us as if there is only one of us to love. Jesus loves each one of us as if only there is one of us to love. Don't underestimate what Jesus will do for you when you make room for him. Every time man made room for Jesus, he moved heaven through their lives. Heaven is not something you wait for. It is something he brought to earth through Jesus Christ in that crowded place. Many were visiting Jesus that day, but she was following him. There's such a difference between visiting and following Jesus Christ. I knew the day I stopped visiting Jesus, and I knew the moment I started following him. It was the day Jesus became the living expression of his word. His words became alive and they took on form. Jesus became real to me. I remember many years ago, in a remote village in India, I was standing in a crowded room where nobody could just get in and out. It was so crowded in this little room. And in this room was so many parents holding their children, 7, 8, 9 years of age. And the reason why their parents were holding their children is because that they had polio. Overcrowded bodies with disease, overcrowded bodies with sickness. And even though I couldn't meet their needs, even though I couldn't see what was going on in that overcrowded room, there is a Savior who sees everything in an overcrowded room. There is a Savior when a body is overcrowded with disease. There is a Savior, there is a Jesus who is real, who sees what He needs to see. We may miss what is going on in somebody's life, but Jesus never misses anything in your life. No matter what you're overcrowded with today, Jesus sees your heart. Can you make room for Jesus today? And as Jesus walked through that crowd that day, in that room with those kids with polio, as we stretched out our hands and we prayed for them and we said, in the name of Jesus, be healed, something miraculous happened. It wasn't just words of a page anymore. I saw the words of Jesus come alive and heal those little children's bodies of polio to the point where their parents weren't holding their crippled bodies anymore, but they were able to stand on their feet, straighten out their arms, stand on their two feet and stand in strength, completely healed. There is a Savior. His name is Jesus. And where hearts and lives are overcrowded, we have a Savior who will touch them with the power of God. Our Jesus is real. No matter what is overcrowded, Jesus sees, Jesus knows, Jesus hears this morning. There's this incredible poem that I want to finish with this morning. He Giveth More Grace by Annie Johnson Flynn. She was a writer of hymns. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added afflictions, He added His mercy. To multiplied trials, He multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed and the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's forgiving is only begun. Fear not that they need shall exceed His provision. Our God ever yearns His resources to share. Lean hard on the arm everlasting, availing. The Father both thee and thy load will upbear. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches is Jesus. He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Why, Jesus? Why, Jesus, His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Father, I pray, as we come into this moment of reflection, as the team right now sing, O Holy Night, let this be a time where we ask and we assess our hearts. Is my heart too overcrowded for Jesus? Or where Jesus wants to make my heart His home, can Jesus find room in my heart today? Father God, I pray, Your love has no limits. Your grace has no measure. Your power, no boundary known unto men. For out of Your infinite riches, You giveth and You giveth and You give it again. God, I thank You for bringing Your Savior into this world, Your Son, Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, we have Savior. We have a hope. We have healing. We have restoration. We have peace that surpasses all our understanding. God, Your grace has no limits. Your love has no bounds. This day, Father God, we worship You for bringing Your Son, Jesus Christ. For today, a Savior was born and His name is Jesus. I pray for every person here as we come into this moment. Holy Spirit, open our hearts wide to receive the Savior that was born, Jesus Christ.